Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/broadcast. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Broad topics, broad minds, broad hosts, but not just for broads. This is Broadcast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougall.
Everybody, welcome to Broadcast.
Hi, I'm glad I could be here.
You say that every week.
I do, because it's still funny.
You're like, I'm still here. So
hey, that's going to be my tagline.
Can we go back for a half a second?
I guess so.
Audible.com.
Yeah.
That's my new, like, obsession. First of all, I could listen to your book. No offense to you. Books are hard. It's hard to get to reading and get the time. But when I'm commuting or... Mm-hmm. Even cleaning the kitchen with my little earbuds I'm doing now, and I can listen. Your books are on there.
Yeah. For an author, yeah. I'm a terrible reader. So I'm learning because Audible's giving us such an awesome, partnership. Yes. But I do believe that is a good way to listen, especially if you spend time in the car, but I don't. I have like a 30-second commute.
Voice.
Oh, yeah. I don't put you to sleep?
No.
Oh. No. Oh. Well, thank you. It's going to be a meditation app.
My current obsession, though, is a book called You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life.
Oh.
It's from Jen Cicero, or I'm not sure how to say it. But and I've already tweeted at her that we need to have her on the show because I'm really loving, this is where you and I are like I love the self-help meditation, grow my mind and every day. And
your heart will follow. Grow my mind. No, there's a song in there somewhere. Yeah.
Free your mind.
Yeah, I know.
But I love all that stuff. So there are tons of books.
No, I think it's fantastic. It's a great way to move through things and to, be able to multitask. I can't multitask. That's the problem when it comes to I have to pay attention if someone's talking to me. And maybe because I work in mental health also, I don't like to have people talking in my ear. It confuses me. Maybe I'm hearing voices.
Right.
I used to work in a psych hospital. So I was always checking to make sure that the voices in my head were actually mine as opposed to somebody else's.
Wouldn't it be the other way around?
Well, that I wasn't hearing, having hallucinations or I was having a schizophrenic break or multiple personalities or anything like that.
Well, if you do, will you promise me one thing?
Yeah.
You'll do it live here on Broadcast?
Yes. I will schedule it.
So last night was the Grey's Anatomy finale.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it.
Okay. Do not speak about it because I know...
Did you watch it?
No.
Oh.
Not yet. I watch it usually on Friday night.
Okay, yeah.
Today's my kid's birthday, so I'm not sure I'll get to it.
Yeah.
But I know Callie's leaving. I assume that she's going to New York, but probably not because there is nobody like Shonda when it comes to season finales. Yeah, Kim is making a face.
No, because you told me not to say anything. I can't say anything.
We're just going to move on. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay, I can't believe you didn't see anything online, though.
I saw that she's leaving.
Okay.
I didn't see how, and so now I'm not looking online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe, yeah.
I have something to say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to do a special episode of Sarah Ramirez, right? Anyway.
Yeah.
So it's, May 20th. Spring is just flying by.
I know. It's crazy. My son is finishing. May 20th. Happy birthday to Kobe McDougal. My son is finishing his first year of seventh grade, and it totally snuck up on me because I was still in elementary school brain, and they stay on they stay in school for until the middle of June. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, and then I got this email coming home that said they're turning in their textbooks. And I'm thinking, why are they turning in their textbooks 3 weeks early? And then it dawned on me, he's out of school in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened.
June 3rd for my kids.
Yeah. My June 2nd.
Crazy.
But it's so weird. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do now.
Because in Massachusetts where I grew up and you grew up in Chicago, you went until almost I think the earliest we ever got out was June 18th because we didn't have that many snow days.
Oh, is that? I can't even remember. I know we started later in the year, but
yes,
after Labor Day.
Right.
I don't know. I just suddenly was oh, geez, I need to have things planned for my kid. I'm always late to the party in that regard.
Yeah, you better keep him busy.
He's going to basketball camp.
All summer?
No, up for about a week in Oakland. He's going to Warriors basketball camp because he's a big basketballer. And then I'm sending him to... it's a day camp, but he's going with some friends, and so he'll stay with their family. And then I'm sending him to an overnight camp in Malibu that it's a camp for blind kids, and so he's a sighted peer camper. And so the sighted kids blindfold them and ask them to participate in certain events so that they can learn and appreciate what it feels like to be blind. And then I'm super excited. He's doing it for, because he wants to, but he's also going to do it for his mitzvah project for his bar mitzvah that's coming up later this year. So that's an overnight camp. And so I'm super excited.
Wow.
Yeah. Kim that's like 8 days of summer. Yeah.
This summer.
Woo.
but before summer, I've been spring cleaning to look around the studio a little bit. Other than the dead, what is that?
Plant?
Yeah.
What was that thing? That looks like mine, so I don't even know what it's originally called because mine looks like that.
Redone. I had one job, and was to keep that plant alive.
Yeah, but how come neither one of us? We're having a senior moment. I have that plant.
It's a totally common.
Not a lilac. Oh my gosh. Hilarious. Anyway, mine looks just like that.
Yes.
They all look just like that.
I love those too. Those things that we can't come up with.
This is funny.
Does this happen to you guys? Please tell us.
All the time.
Yes.
Welcome to your 40s, ladies.
Right? Mm-hmm. But you were telling me you're doing a little spring cleaning yourself.
I did. So I found out this new trick. So way back when Facebook started, I didn't know how it worked. And so I think I just accepted everybody's friendships. And then somewhere along the way, someone said you can create lists and you can create privacy settings and you can put people in certain places so they don't see everything. Well, that's too much of a pain in the tush for me. So what I've done in the last couple months is as birthdays come up, you know, the little reminders, if I look at it and go, who the heck are you? Delete. And that's how I'm cleaning out my Facebook list.
Happy
it's so
birthday.
Liberating.
I'm friending you.
Sorry. I know. Isn't that terrible? But it's actually because I.
Kind of brilliant.
I know.
That's a good thing.
I know. But I don't know people. And I realize that the older I get, I'm trying to create some privacy and some boundaries. And Facebook. And I didn't know about Facebook. And I don't like this, that even if you don't become friends with someone, they can still follow you.
Well, if you have the follow button.
I thought everybody can. How do you turn off the. Mind blown. How do you turn off the...
If they go to friend you and you don't accept, they don't see the things for your friends. They can see you public stuff.
Yeah, but then I have to go back in and I have to make sure that what I'm posting is public versus private. Like,
but you don't post publicly on your...
I do, because I forget to change the settings so that it's private.
You should just have a friends setting that only people...
Well, anyway, this I'm learning, but I don't like that I have all these people that can follow without... I don't know who they are. Like, the whole point of being able to accept requests is that you can pick and choose.
Right. But they can, like I said, they can only follow the public stuff. So your job is to not post publicly. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, my whole brilliant idea is just blown.
So yeah. I'm excited. I mean, we still have a little more talking to do, but today on the show, Jenny Hutt from Just Jenny on SiriusXM.
Fabulous.
She is so fun and so opinionated, and I listen to her. She used to be on during my commute in the morning. And Sirius, I don't know what's happening. I'll have to ask her, but like, stop messing with my programming.
Oh, yeah. They need to check with you first.
On, you know, at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific, which is, you know, and so at noon, I have to go and like run some errands because.
Can't miss you. Just Jenny. Just Jenny.
So she's going to be on in just a little bit. And she last month was on the cover of Oprah Magazine.
Oh.
So we're going to ask her about that.
Wow.
Too.
She got on there. She got to sit alongside the queen.
The queen.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see on our Facebook page this week, though, since we were talking about Facebook and then I took a little sidebar there, that we posted the dad who was parenting a sick child, his sick child.
Yeah.
And there was a photo of him in the shower holding the baby.
Right.
The baby.
Yeah.
And they were both naked because that's usually what we do.
Happens
in the shower.
In the shower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not unusual.
Right.
And the internet is going crazy.
You know, it's not the internet. It's people on the internet that are like, have nothing else to do. Like, I don't get it. Like, why do we, like, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was tender. I thought it was appropriate. I thought it's what parents do. And I don't know why we wouldn't do that if it was a woman sitting there with her baby. We might say something about her nipple showing because God forbid, you know,
right.
We see that.
Breathe the nipple.
Right. But I'm so sad about our state of affairs when that's the stuff that we get upset about, you know, and that we shame this family for. I mean, I read the article and, you know, the little boy was sick from salmonella poisoning or something, and he was basically throwing up and having diarrhea at the same time. And so they went into the shower to like soothe him and comfort him and clean him off at the same time. I'm thinking that's brilliant multitasking. Right. Honestly, I was impressed. Yeah. And I'm just disappointed that that's the stuff that we get so upset about.
And I wrote on the post too, but would I have shared that image? Probably not, because it is I would have taken the photo because it is a tender, amazing, beautiful family moment. I don't know that I would have, and me, the queen of oversharing.
Right.
I don't know that I would have shared necessarily that.
Did she, forgive me because I might forgot because I turned 40 and I forget everything. did she write an article about it, or was it just a personal post? I mean, a personal picture. I don't remember.
By the time I saw it, it was like all written about. So I'll have to.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think that makes a difference whether you're writing about the situation and that you caught
it? No, I was just curious, like, if she wrote it as a post, like, what the purpose of it? I was just, I think I missed that part.
But I think that people are trying to connect online. They're trying to share experiences and you know, so.
Well, I appreciate if there was a moment of putting this, because we, you know, we've talked about this on our show a lot about how dads are just seen as fill in, you know, they're the babysitters, right. You know, and that they don't take a strong role. And I that's what I saw when I saw the picture. Like, of course, that's what he's going to do. He's the dad. Like,
right.
And so if that was the purpose behind it, then I applaud that. I mean, yeah. I appreciate the privacy and the
I understand that too, yeah. Where it's like, you know what, we should be celebrating all parents, dads, moms, and, you know.
But it's the nudity factor. It's the fact that people are uncomfortable with seeing men nude with their children.
They are. You know who I want to ask about this?
No.
I want to ask Jenny Hutt.
Ooh.
Yes. So we're going to come right back with Jenny right after this.
You're listening to Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougall, the most riveting hour of radio ever.
Welcome back to Broadscast.
I'm so glad I stayed for this.
I know. You stay every time.
I do. I'm lucky.
As much as you try to get away. So I'm very excited because I'm geeking out a little bit. So we've got Ms. Jenny Hutt on the phone from Just Jenny, SiriusXM. Hi, Jenny.
Hello. You can't really geek out from me. You need to aim way higher.
No, I am, because, you know, you used to be on my morning commute and I would listen every morning, and I don't know if you know, but we're best friends. So
I heard we're talking about it.
And so then they moved you to 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 Pacific, and now I have to like schedule my errands around you.
Right, but now I'm 6 p.m. 3 Pacific.
Oh, 6 p.m. That's right. I don't know why I just said that, because I listen to you when I go get my kids.
Because I've been in the morning your time, I've been midday your time, I've been everywhere. So it's really, it's not your fault for not.
You throw up your whole day? Like, you had a sweet little gig happening.
Yeah, it's actually fine. I'm so happy to be on SiriusXM. I've been there for 10 and a half years.
Wow. And,
yeah, and I had a co-host for many years, and then I didn't anymore. And when I stopped having my co-host, SiriusXM still had me and gave me my own show. And so I'm only grateful. I don't really care if they put me on, as long as I'm on like in the waking hours. So right. I clock every night. I'm pretty good.
Well, that's awesome. And I love that, you know, because Kim and I started our show because we would talk about trending topics and things that were happening. And we'd be like, you know, these passionate discussions. And then we're like, we should start recording this.
Right.
You know? And so I feel like, when I listen to you, it's the same thing that you and your producer, Nakia, you know, I'm like the Nakia
stalker.
I'm your
ex. I love Nakia so much. She has changed my life. She's just made my life so much better.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We need a Nakia.
Yeah.
We started our show doing it at night when we could have wine.
Oh yeah. That was dangerous.
Yeah. That was fun actually. Yeah. And then we had to be quiet and be approved by some radio god somewhere, and then we move to the morning. It's not.
Well, that's the problem.
I'm going to start spiking my coffee.
Regular radio and not serious, that we have to be polite. in some ways.
Yeah. Right. I guess you have to, I suppose, well, isn't it just, you can't go blue. You can't use certain words, yeah. But
I used vagina once and like the eyeballs raised in the room. They're like, Kim, it's vagina. I'm like, yeah, we have vagina. And I kept saying it. Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah.
I can't believe vagina became a taboo word for you like that.
That's a whole other show. Yeah.
Hey, so speaking of vagina.
Oh, see how I did there?
We were talking earlier before you came on about, did you see the picture of the guy naked in the shower holding his baby? And he was just like, it was a beautiful parenting. We're going to put it on our website too so other people can see it. But
I'll go look at it now. So it's a, if I write man holding vagina, you know what I mean?
No, he's not holding a vagina. He's holding a baby.
Yeah.
Man holding
baby in the,
naked in the shower.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Or you can go to Facebook to the broadcast page, either way, whichever's easier.
Yeah. I just want to see it to know what we're. Here we go. Facebook pic of dad creating a baby in shower goes viral.
Yeah. So the internet has, we were laughing about this, internet, the internet has spoken and they're like disgusted that there's this image of this man in the shower. And this, the backstory is the baby is sick and has throwing up and having diarrhea at the same time. So he's trying to cuddle the baby and soothe the baby and clean the baby at the same time.
It's a boy.
Is it a boy?
I believe so.
I think, yeah. So people are, yeah. So people are very upset that this dad is naked with his kids. And so we were talking about, like, is that appropriate? Should they have shared the picture? So we thought you would probably have an opinion.
I mean, listen, because it's the world that we live in today, mm-hmm. I wouldn't share the picture just because we live in this really crazy society where there is no innocence. But when my kids, who are now 17 and almost 16, were little, I mean, group showers were just part of the regular routine. And right. And certainly my husband and my son, had we had digital photography at the time, had they been in the shower, I might have taken such a picture that's not showing anything, right. But we're weird. We've become really weird. I mean, my daughter, she's the one turning almost 16, and there are many days that I'm in the shower and she walks in and gets right in with me. And we end up showering together and we laugh about it because I'm like, can I have 5 minutes to breathe? May I just have can I just shower? I want to wash. I don't want to be poked at and pointed at and touched. And because that's what she does. She's almost 16. I love her. We love each other. And she laughs at my aging body because that's her job. But obviously we don't take pictures of that, but that's because she's almost 16. But I just don't. I mean, it's innocent, but I get how people would freak out. I had more issue, I have to tell you, with another viral post, and I'm not sure if you saw this one, but it was one of those, you're not going to believe what you read when you read this. Like, she called him over at 2:00 in the morning, and when he arrived, what he saw would have made anyone go running. And it was this woman who was divorced, and she had her boyfriend come over in the middle of the night because her three little kids were sick, like 2 years old, 4 years old, and six. And she said, if you come over right now, you're in it or you're not. And then they end up getting married. But I'm such a crazy, nervous lunatic that I'm like, I would not want a random, but now I'm married for almost 19 years. So it doesn't really, but I wouldn't want a random boyfriend coming to help me clean up my sick kids when they were little. Why would he be interested in that?
Together.
At that point, I feel like they were only together like a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Now they're together 7 years and married, but at that point it was new.
That was her test, that if he came over, he was in it?
I wouldn't want a single guy with no kids so interested in helping me with my sick children. Why would he be interested in my sick children? Why does he like children? See where I go?
I did not go there.
I always do. Terrible.
I have to say, I often do as well, because if you go back to the dad in the shower, I was saying before that, you know, taking the photo, the actual act, and you had made a point, like, was it a boy? But either way, it's a baby, right?
But we wouldn't do that if it was a woman holding her child. Why is it different if it's a man?
It isn't, but I think the reason it doesn't bother me also is I feel like the mother was taking the picture, right? Who took the picture?
She was in the shower.
It was her random boyfriend.
Yeah.
But her random boyfriend cradling her infant son. That would bother me. But if that's his dad, then it's his dad.
Well, there was an interesting comment. It was from a comedian, and he said that he has gotten in the bathtub with his kids, and he said sometimes it's just easier to get in, right. You know. Right. And he said, you know, kids need to be cleaned, and girls have vaginas. And I keep saying vagina, and they need to be cleaned, and sometimes it's just easier to do that. And why should we rely on the woman to just be the one to do that? And you know, and I was like, awesome, I love that. But again, it goes back to the oversharing part. But if it was a woman, I don't think people would be freaking out, because there was another picture that went around and people were like, oh, isn't that tender and beautiful with the woman holding her sick baby in the shower? And no one said a thing.
Because women are messed up.
I think the problem is we've forgotten that people are supposed to and usually do have healthy boundaries. And so even when they're caring for their naked, sick child, they have healthy boundaries. They're not doing anything inappropriate with their kid. They're just taking care of their kid. They're not thinking anything like dirty or lurid. They're parents taking care of their children. But as a society are all so twisted because we've heard such horrible things and about people without boundaries that we go right there. Is this one of those situations when it most likely isn't? Because most of the time, parents aren't doing the bad things to their kids and their kids' bodies. So, I mean, yeah. It's... Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, you can't show anything, and he doesn't even show the baby's tushy. I mean, nothing. It's a profile of both of them. Nothing is showing.
Right, but I think, you know, it's interesting. I am a single mom, and my son with my girlfriends, it was always like Auntie Michelle or Auntie Lisa, and their boyfriends or their husbands, not their boyfriends, but their husbands became the uncle because they were around before he was born. And there came a point, though, that I was saying to my kid, like, at some point, Auntie Lisa or Uncle Siri are not supposed to be seeing you naked. And so how there's this,
you know, because they're not his mother and they're not his mother.
But at some point, I had to create that boundary with my kid to make sure that he knew what was appropriate touching and inappropriate. And it's just an interesting conversation that I don't know that I would have had that about my girlfriend as much as I would have about my girlfriend's husband. And you know, it's this, and sidebar, I do counseling for a living and I work with teenagers who, plenty of my teens that I work with have been sexually assaulted by their family members. And you know, it's really confusing in my brain sometimes of the double standard that I even create subconsciously. But I don't know. I think that we're so quick to assume that everything is so bad, like what you're saying. We're so quick to assume that someone has a morbid brain working and that they're going to brutalize and sexualize these kids. And I'm sad, I
think most of the time that's not, I think obviously it happens in families and it's disgusting and horrible. And I think that conversation you had with your son was really responsible. I mean, years and years ago before my kids went to sleepaway camp and my friend's kids went to sleepaway camp, I was the mother who had to say to my friend's kid, look, this is what you have to look out for. This is inappropriate. Because my friend was so uneasy having those kind of conversations. Whereas I still have those conversations with my kids who are big and driving. I mean, but it's a scary world. But the presumption is that our parents aren't going to do so. You don't have to really have that conversation with your son about you. It's about your friend's boyfriend, or your friend's husband, or your friend, frankly. Nobody should be seeing them at this point, other than us. I mean, listen, the naked thing is weird because I had a friend who posted a friend who I knew since we were very little, but we're not current. We're just current on Facebook. And she posted a picture of her two beautiful little girls, maybe 2 and 4, naked, full frontal naked, but like almost one of those French photographs from the 70s. So just a pretty picture. And I inboxed her and I said, you got to take that down because I know it's not pornography, but someone else might not know it's not pornography and that it's like a weird world we live in. And she took it down. And it wasn't because I was sexualizing kids. It was really because they were naked kids. And it was 2015. And I was like, you probably don't want that out there.
So you talk about your daughter in the shower, but like at what point with your son did it stop or has it stopped or like
has it stopped? What are you kidding me? I wouldn't want to scar the kid for life. There's just no need for
him. Set him up for reality, the truth.
But, yeah, I mean, Yeah, well, that kind of reality I would hope would happen like down the road, that he'd be someone age appropriate and then, God willing, like get to grow old-ish with that person and then or get used to women and then realize what happens to all of us. But my son, my pediatrician, his pediatrician used to say, when you're starting to ask the question, when is it too late? It's already too late. Mm. So I think that the minute, I mean, he must have been 3 or 4 by the time, or 5 by the time I was no longer naked around him. I mean, he might try to walk in the bathroom if I'm peeing, but he doesn't, there's never, but not really. Like he doesn't want to see, the last thing he wants to see is me in anything, but, minus the idea of women oppression, he would like me in a burqa.
Yeah, so does my son. Yeah, my son kind of dictated for us when we stopped. I mean, I remember when my son tried to tug on my tampon string, and I was like, oh,
time.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, we've reached our...
Yeah, for sure.
But he became more modest, and he became, that came with maturity for him, that he was like, okay, I think I've reached my time. I don't want to see you, and I don't want you to see me. And I was very happy because I was like you, like, can I please have 2 seconds? Can I please pee in private, you know, and not have him storm in and ask me for cereal while I'm in the shower, So now he knocks on the door and... You know, he doesn't come in unless I say I'm in.
My kids still don't knock on the door. And the thing is, if my boys walk in, they won't stay and chat with me, but they don't like, I've been through a lot of surgeries in my life. And so things don't necessarily look the way they look on other people. And so I kind of liked that when they were younger, they just got, I didn't hide myself and I wasn't ashamed of myself. Like I kind of was very open because I wanted them to understand that people look and can feel good.
Right. And feel comfortable
in all different ways.
Yeah.
How old are your kids? All your kids?
Your son is
my 12. Son is 12.
And then, my oldest is 12 today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And then, my other son is 10 and then my daughter's 9.
Okay. Adorable.
And especially with my daughter, I'm very open and free because
as am I. Yes. You
know, it's like, I don't have to look a certain way for me to feel comfortable. You know.
Oh yeah, no, God no. First of all, I couldn't even try. I couldn't. There's no how. I mean, there's my daughter and I are we lack boundaries. I mean, it just and that's okay. I mean, it's. I'm actually happy, like you are, the same kind of thing. Like, let her see what this body has been through and what it looks like on the other side, and how women age, and we all age differently, and it's all okay. And
right.
We all have bodies.
And I'm definitely full of crap, though, because I don't feel comfortable like right now and, you know, all that. But I certainly I should win an Academy Award when it comes to being around my daughter, you know, and trying to at least show her. I mean, I am comfortable in many ways more so. I think I'm 45 now. Like, there are things I just don't hold on to anymore. But, you know, I'm not in the place I want to be.
I think, Jackie, it's more important that she sees that regardless of how insecure you might be on any given day, that you're still out, up, functioning and doing and living.
Right.
I think that's really what's key because, I mean, as a kid, I kind of found when my mother was insecure, unsteady or uneasy, she would really take to the bed. Mm-hmm. And though that sounds luxurious to me today, right, and it's a fantasy of mine, it's not something I get to do no matter how I feel. I am up and out and doing my part in being in the world and being a part of society. So I think showing that example to your daughter and to daughters especially is what's even more important than the moment of not liking something about yourself physically. I think that's a battle that every woman has. And your daughter, unfortunately, as good a job as you do, and I'm sure you do a phenomenal job, is still going to have
Absolutely. Her
moments because that's the world that little girls live in and big girls live in. It's really no way because we were super mindful with my daughter. And the only thing I could tell you was my biggest win is that even with being a normal teenage girl turning 16 and I'm very short and she's tall, but she's not built waif-like. She's adorable and beautiful. And I wouldn't change a hair on her head, but she sometimes looks at other girls who are like the string beans, like literally two legs and a vagina, and there's nothing else holding it together.
Right.
And she, but her body and her weight never eclipses her worth. And that to me is the win, because for me, it was always my weight and my shape eclipsed anything else about me. Nothing else mattered. So she doesn't think like that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, and listening to your show and, you know, your journey from being overweight to where you are now. And it's, I mean, it's a huge part. I love that you're so vocal about it, because you let other people go, oh, it's okay to talk about that I feel this way, or which is fantastic. But I mean, how big of a win was that, being on the cover last month of Oprah magazine?
It was crazy. It was surreal and it was unexpected. I just thought I was a part of a group story in the magazine about women and weight, which is why I had volunteered to do it. Cause I talk about as every Wednesday's Weight Wednesday on my show. Mm-hmm. So it's in my wheelhouse to talk about body issues. So I was like, okay, sure. And it's Oprah. So I knew the magazine would be graceful in whatever they were doing and empowering. So when I got to the shoot and found out that it was a cover and I was going to be in a unitard and that, with my hair all the way slicked back, it was kind of trippy, but it's been really exciting and cool. And Oprah was incredibly gracious and generous and fantastic. So it was really neat.
That's awesome. And you know,
even though you're at the size you probably want to be, you look fantastic. Like you still, it doesn't take away the struggle still every single day, correct?
Every single day. I'm starving myself right now because I know there's going to be another shoot in a few months because they're going to follow up with us. And I'm trying to lose 5 stupid pounds. It's so joke, but I starve. There's no day that I wake up and I'm like, yes, it's all over. I'm good now. Cause I'm not. It's, if you have a weight issue, and so many of us do, then that stays with you. And you just learn to make friends with it. At least that's what I've done. I laugh at it. I think it's funny and silly and ridiculous. And so it's just a part of who I am, and that's cool. I'll go anywhere to find what I want to eat, and I'll be very specific. And some might call it disordered. I just call it honest. And so it works for me somehow. I've maintained a really big weight loss for 6 years. So
far,
incredible. The maintenance is really hard.
It's hard.
Well, I think it's the mental maintenance, you know, I mean, I think that's what you're saying, that, you know, to mentally prepare yourself every day in terms of what you're going to give yourself and what you're going to, you know, restrict yourself from having. I mean, I think we all have those, whether it's food or alcohol or sleep or whatever it is, we have to mentally prepare ourselves every day for what we allow to be part of our existence and what we want out of it. So I think those
also
boundaries.
Emotionally, I mean, yeah. Kim, look what you've gone through in your life, and you have weathered how many storms that you still get up and do what you have to do and take care of others and your son and live your life.
Right.
We all want to, who doesn't want to crumble up and do none of it? It's
yeah, me. Yeah.
Well, you want to get up and out all the time.
Yeah.
If you do, Jackie, that's amazing.
Well, as much as, you know, what Kim has been through isn't anything like weight loss, the one thing that they have in common is it's daily. Like, we've talked about this on the show so many times that, like, you know, you think 21 years later, like, you wouldn't have to go through the number one show on cable, you know, being about your life. Like, and you know, the constant reminders and the people posting and the letters sent, like, so... I mean, and you, Kim, like, not to,
it's okay.
You know, I'm putting you on my pedestal because I love you, but like, you know, you get up every day and not just show up, but make a difference in other people's lives. And so I think, and you know, you to a totally different extent, Jenny, are getting up and sharing your struggle and allowing other people to talk about their struggles. And I think that's what's really important.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, I talk about being the queen of oversharing on social media, but I have people who talk to me about, like, oh my, I can't believe you're talking about that, like, publicly. Like, that's great, because I had that problem. And, you know, I just went and got my black belt last Sunday, right? So, but I'm the fattest I have ever been in my entire life. So I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm not going, oh my God, I'm so amazing, I got a black belt. I'm going, how did I get so big?
Right.
You know?
First of all, cut yourself a break, because the fact that you're a black belt... I mean, I'm not going to lie and say I would give 10 pounds, I'd gain 10 pounds to be a black belt. I won't lie, but I wish I could be. I wish I could kick anybody's ass. I can't even kick a 10-pound dog's ass I'm holding. There's nothing. I'm the least scary, least person to fear ever in terms of physical strength. So that's extraordinary that you got a black belt. That's, I have zero athleticism in me. Zero.
Well, that's exactly why this is such a big deal for me, because I was a softball player, I was a cheerleader, but I was the one on the bench and I was like the chubby cheerleader. You know, like I was just, I always felt like I was there, I was in the game, but sort of on the sideline. So for me, Taekwondo has been that thing where I could push myself and train, you know, and you go,
so cool.
You go 0 to 60 in a day. Like that's what it's for, us who don't feel like athletes, who can work toward that.
Right.
Yeah, but you have to change your narrative about your body, because clearly you're healthy and you're strong. So what else really matters? You're a freaking black belt. I mean, I don't, that's incredible. That's,
but I think it's, we talk about this a lot too, that I think women were so, and not all of us obviously, but we diminish our worth and we diminish our potential because it's hard to accept compliments. You know, Jackie and I joke that we're always saying we're sorry to each other, you know, for silly things like having an opinion. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, and I that to me is like a mental workout every day, to really train myself every day to feel good about what I'm doing, to be able to pat myself on the back and not be a jerk about it, but to be able to acknowledge that I've done something well, and that I'm making a difference. It's hard. We don't often do that. We just go through life and we don't look for acknowledgement. And I think that, you know, we have to find that from, like you said, Jenny, to change the narrative. And I think it's really hard for women to do that.
Right. Well, because we've been told so often not to.
Right.
I mean, we have a really, I think things are shifting a little bit because more people are being vocal about the levels of inequality based on gender or race or sexuality or myriad of reasons. But so I think with women, that'll come. I think it has to start with women lifting other women up rather than tearing one another down, because I see it through work. I'm sure you see it through work on social media, and even in a school parking lot, women are very quick to cut each other rather than boost one another. And I find it really upsetting and really, frankly, weird. And I'm not sure. I mean, it's rhetorical. I kind of know why we do it, because it's societal, but that has to change too, because there's enough to go around and we should all try to help one another instead of sneaking cream in your dieting friend's coffee.
I think that's the thing, is people don't believe, and we aren't raised to believe, that abundance is everywhere. You
right.
Know? Like money is not finite. Like, you know, if somebody else gets a cool job with more money, you're like, oh, less money for me. It doesn't work that way. So if somebody else gets success or love or something like that, like,
should hope that, because maybe that'll lessen their angst in some way and open them up to be a kinder, more generous soul. That's the hope.
I have found the older I, and I'm 44, that I have a lot of women that, yeah, braggart. I have a lot of women that will make like cutting remarks, you know, about things. You know, and I've only noticed it lately because I'm more tuned in. I think that I'm like, wow, that's not very supportive and that's not very encouraging. And I feel like I'm pretty encouraging and maybe I'm not. I don't know. But I'm realizing now that there are lots of women that are not supportive of each other. And I never really believed that that was a phenomenon.
Success means their failure or something.
Yeah. And I'm really trying again, you know, to try to be more encouraging and more supportive and all those things, because I do find that we're our own people, you know, and I feel like we can learn so much from each other, and why we're not willing to open ourselves up to it kind of disappoints me in our little group.
I agree. Yeah. You're preaching to the choir. I have a snoring puppy on me. It's like,
that's awesome. Do you see it any different though? Like, you know, being in New York or the East Coast versus, you know, 'cause I grew up in Boston. So
I went to school outside of Boston.
Where did you go?
I went to Tufts.
Oh, well, there you go. I've driven by Tufts.
Somerville, Medford.
Yeah. I lived in Somerville for, before I moved to LA. So, but I think that on the East Coast, there's a different mentality. Do you feel like it's as competitive with women? I mean, you're in the city though, so.
I mean, entertainment isn't as plentiful in New York City, so I don't really see it. And I live outside the city. So really, where I live, most of my friends don't work. And I just lead a very average, like, not a soccer. My kids don't play soccer, so I'm not a soccer mom. But I'm a mom at the parking lot or just I'm in the grocery store. I mean, I lead, like, the most unglamorous everyday existence. But I guess in New York City, yeah, where there's women in media, it's competitive. It's not in Los Angeles, unfortunately, it's like all entertainment. And if it's an abnormality or it's unusual, if you're not in entertainment in that center place, wherever I am when I'm in LA, because I would only be in LA for work. So I feel it more in Los Angeles than I do here, but I'm not. But maybe that's just because the saturation of entertainment in LA is so much greater than it is here.
Right. Out here. And I say to my husband too, like, when we go back to Massachusetts, we'll go out to a restaurant and the wait staff is like, they're the wait staff.
That's 20, her job.
You could be 55, like whatever. And that's her job or that's his job. Out here, it's like, you're that until something else. They're always looking for that next thing. And so I feel like it happens with women too, where they're like, what can you do for me? Like, what do you have that will get me to my next level?
I wonder if that's a generational thing though, because I'm of a, again, we are all in the same.
You're less than a year younger.
No, that's what I'm saying. We're all in the same age demographic. But I was raised, my dad was at his first job for, 20 something years. I mean, I think that there's a work ethic that has also shifted and that there's people that are like onto the next thing. I mean, I don't know. I find that with my staff that I hire, they're always looking for the next thing as opposed to being loyal, being committed, having that strong work ethic. And I don't know if that's tied to what you're saying. I'm not sure if that's just a female thing or if that's, I think it's
some of that is fear-based, that people don't think they can grow in a group. But because I look at my relationship with my producer, Nakia, and my hope is always that as my show grows, that her role will grow, that we will grow, that we will continue to keep doing more together, because that's all I would want her to keep doing better. That's right. Just my hope for her. And I think she would say the same thing. So I think maybe it's more that people get nervous what's going to happen to them. So then they jump ship.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I also wish people would be more honest about all of it instead of like on the side checking things out where they can make something happen.
Dive into that a little bit more. What do you mean?
Well, I think that when people are duplicitous, it makes everything worse. So I'd rather just be upfront. If there's an opportunity that I get, then I'll talk to my producer about it. Because the goal is that the two of us will get to have these opportunities together, that it's we're a team. So if you're going to be a team, then you have to be a team.
Right.
And even if she got some phenomenal opportunity that didn't involve me, I would only want her to do it and go for it, because I want her to have the best life she could possibly have. But I think the both of us would say that we want to keep working together in the way that we are and grow what we're doing, because we work well together. So it would be hurtful if either one of us, I think, was sort of looking elsewhere without acknowledging the other person.
Well, I see that a lot in television though too, that I had a small stint in TV, but when you find your crew, so to speak, you stick together. Like directors will bring their team together. I mean, there's something about being about surrounding yourself with good people that promote your success equally as much as they're wanting their own. And I think, you're only as good as who you surround yourself with. And so, but that I hope is the norm, but there are definitely people that are just out for themselves and they don't care who they steamroll in the meantime. And I see that even in my nonprofit work,
it's disgusting. By the way, I say this all the time, that I think I'd be much farther along in my career if I were to see you next Tuesday, but it's just not my nature.
Right.
I know. I've always been so painfully loyal that I've missed out on things because I'm like, oh, I'll stay. You've been so good to me. 10 years later, I'm still miserable because I'm loyal. I'm like that little dog on the lap snoring. Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, but I think that, when push comes to shove, waking up, looking at yourself in the mirror and feeling like you are a good person with integrity.
Yes.
That matters more than any of the success, you know, quote unquote success that you can find.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would
definitely. All right. Well, we have to wrap it up. So where else people can find you on SiriusXM?
Yes.
Stars. That's 109.
Yeah. So Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. East, 3 West. On SiriusXM Stars, which is 109 on the Sirius platform. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm not sure if it's 109 on XM.
It is, but actually.
You can also catch my show on demand on the SiriusXM app. And I'm on Instagram at JustJennyHutt, on Twitter at JennyHutt, on Facebook at JennyHutt. I'm Snapchatting because that's what I'm supposed to do.
And I have all of your channels on broadcast.com. But tell us, where's your website?
Oh, justjenny.com.
Justjenny.com. Thank you so much, Jenny.
Thank you, Jenny. We can't wait to see your update on the Oprah magazine in a couple weeks or months.
I know.
When yeah, months. Months.
Months.
From now.
Okay, months.
Thanks for having me, girls.
All right. Don't have a great day.
Bye. Good luck with the 5 pounds.
Thank
you. Thank you so much to Jenny Hutt. That was awesome. We will be right back.
You're listening to Broadscast with Kim Goldman and Jackie McDougal, the most riveting hour of radio ever.
Hi, I stayed. I'm just kidding.
That was a fun show.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we were going to go a totally different direction. I you know me, I'm the tangential talker. So I like when we go out into the weird places because I think that's where the best stuff happens.
Totally. I mean, yeah. we always have guidelines for our show.
That we abandon as soon as we start talking.
Exactly. As soon as our voiceover guy says, you know, you're listening to Broadcast, we abandon all everything. So, yeah, but it was a good show. And I love how honest she is and, you know, that she can talk about anything like us.
We
need to be best friends with her. And we're all redheads.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Some of us are more natural than others.
Oh, wow. I like it.
But thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to head over to audibletrial.com/broadcast for your free audiobook download and 30-day trial. And anything else, Kim? Any parting words?
No. Have a great weekend, and we will see you next week. Find us on broadcast.com or on the internet. You can just find us at broadcast somewhere. I don't know. Broadcast show, broadcast.
Google says, do you mean broadcast? Say no. No, I don't.